The Battle Within. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about temptation. Now, how many in here has ever had a temptation? Oh, great. It applies to everybody. That's great. But this is a very interesting topic because it's so broad. See, you know, everybody has temptations in their life. And everybody's temptations are different. There's no two people that face the exact same temptation. I mean, we all have some general stuff that we face, but you know, we all face different things and we react different to different temptations. And so it's a really broad topic to try to just nail down and talk about. But for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about temptation. And we're actually going to be using the passage in Luke chapter 4. And this is the temptation of Jesus that we're going to be using for our main text for the next 4 weeks. And, you know, I've read this many times, but a few weeks ago I read over it. And God really began to show me some things in here that, you know, a lot of the temptations that he was tempted with in this passage seem very basic. They seem very simple. But as you look at it, there's actually a deeper root under each of these temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness. And so today we're going to kind of do a basic overview, you know, talk about temptation, what it is, where does it come from, and how to handle temptation in your life. And then the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at the different temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness. And dive a little bit deeper into them, because I believe that these three temptations that he faced are the basic are the basis of every temptation that we'll ever face. And we can look into it and see how we need to handle temptation in our life. So I want to read this to you real quick, our key passage that we're going to be using in this series. We're going to start in Luke chapter 4 and just start in verse 1. And I'm going to read all the way through it today. This will probably be the last time I read all the way through it. We'll just kind of pick through it throughout this series here. So Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. How would you like to be tempted for 40 days in a row by the devil himself? Wouldn't that be great? Anyway. Jesus ate nothing all the time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, Scripture says people do not live by bread alone." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in one time. He said, "I'll give you the glory of these kingdoms and the authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give them all to you if you will worship me." Jesus replied, "The Scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And if you're the Son of God, I skipped a verse of Scripture there. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem to the highest point in the temple. And he said, "If you're the Son of God, jump off. For the Scripture says he will order his angels to protect you and guard you. And they will hold you up in their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Then Jesus responded, "The Scripture also says you must not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Now, one thing I love about this interaction, you know, this is one of those rare occasions where you see, you know, God and the devil interacting. And it's interesting to see that every temptation that Satan threw at him, what did Jesus do? He came back with the Scripture. He came back with the Scripture. Now let me tell you something. If you don't have the Scripture in your heart, if you're not in God's Word, you're not reading, you're not studying, you're not meditating on God's Word, you will always fall to temptation. Because the Scripture is what we use to fight temptation in our life. If you don't have God's Word in your life, in your heart, then you're always going to fall to temptation. Plain and simple. That's how Jesus fought every single one of these temptations. And so today I just want to kind of go over the basics of temptations. What is temptation? Where does it come from? And how can we fight it? And I want to start in a passage of Scripture in James, chapter 1. And I just want to kind of dive into looking what temptation actually is. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. See, I think we need to take a different perspective on temptation in our life. Because I think so many times that when we look at temptation, it's almost like this huge, overwhelming thing in our life that we're just waiting for it to crush. It's like, you know, you see in the cartoons, you see the boulder rolling down the hill. And you see this guy like just bracing for it and about to get crushed by this huge boulder. I feel like that's the way we look at temptation a lot in our life. That it's this huge boulder that's just about to flatten us. And we're just going to do everything that we can either to get out of its way or to not get hurt or not let it overwhelm us. And I think that's a wrong perspective on temptation. Because as James stated, and which I love this passage of Scripture because it's one of those Scriptures you read and you're just like, really? Really, James, did you just say that? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, when you face trouble, when you face temptation in your life. He says, count it an opportunity for great joy in your life. Really, James? Really? But he said, knowing that the testing of your faith is going to produce something. See, we need to look at temptation as simply a test in our life. It's a test. Now, for some of us, it's been a long time since we've taken a test. All right. I know a lot of people are going through finals right now, and it's all about the tests right now. How do you prepare for a test? You study, you read your books, you go over the math problems. You study, you prepare. And see, I believe this is how we need to be handling temptation in our life, is we need to view it as a test of our faith. We need to view it as a test of our commitment, a test of our obedience to God. Because if we constantly see, okay, here comes the temptation, I hope it doesn't crush me this time, we're working from a point of fear in our life. And I don't believe we need to be living in fear in our lives of temptation, of things that the enemy is bringing against us. But we need to view them from a point of victory. We need to view it from the point of the victory of the cross. Because, you know, we just celebrated communion. And what Christ did on the cross for us is he gave us victory over sin, over death, over anything Satan can bring our way. And I think if we begin to view life from the viewpoint of victory instead of the viewpoint of defeat, then we're going to make it a whole lot further in life. That Satan's not going to run us over every time something comes our way. We need to view temptation as simply a test in our life. It's testing our faith. It's testing our commitment. It's testing our obedience to Christ. It's a test. And see, we can prepare for tests. We can be ready for tests. We get ready for tests by studying. We need to be studying God's Word. We need to be putting God's Word in our hearts and our lives. We need to be memorizing Scripture. We need to practice. We need to prepare. And we'll get into this a little bit more when we talk about how to handle temptation in our life. So what is temptation? It's a test. So where do these tests come from? I think a lot of times we blame God for a lot of things in our life that God didn't do. And I think lots of times that when temptation comes in our life, we think, okay, God's testing me. God's, you know, doing... Let's go to the scripture. Let's find out where temptation comes from. We can look right here in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. Said he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by who? The devil. The devil was the one that tempted Jesus. God did not tempt Jesus in the wilderness. It wasn't God who is putting him to the test. Now, did God allow him to be tested? Absolutely. I think we all need to be tested. I think we all need to find out where we are in our walk with God. But see, it's not God's the one that's doing it. But see, he allows the devil to tempt us sometimes to check where we're at. So the first place temptation comes from is from the devil. In James chapter 1, we see another place where temptation comes from. James 1, verse 12, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, you will receive a crown of life that God has promised to you who love him. And remember, when you're be tempted, don't say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful action, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, dear brothers and sisters. See, lots of times we want to place that on God. Oh, God's testing me. God's tempting me. No, the Bible itself said God never tests you with evil. Never. But it's our own selfishness. It's our own selfish desires. It's our own sinfulness that we have in us that brings these temptations in our life. Never blame God for the tough times in your life. Never blame God when something bad happens in your life. It's not God doing it. Either you're being attacked by the enemy, or there's something that you've produced in your life that's causing this tough time. Now, I'm not saying that every time you do something wrong, something bad is going to happen in your life. But there's this thing in the Bible that we call seed time and harvest. You reap what you sow. And so sometimes the bad things in our lives is dumb. Has anybody ever made a bad decision in your life and had to pay the consequences for it besides me? Okay, there's other people. All right, just making sure. I'm in the right company. You might be saying, but what about the scripture that God won't put on us more than we can handle? What about that scripture? Let's go read that scripture and see what it actually says. Because people misquote that scripture so much, it just bugs me. So this is my chance to correct that, okay? It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Don't you know those times when you're feeling really good about life and everything's going right? We think, okay, I've got it now. That's usually when something happens. That's usually when the test and the temptation comes. If you think you're strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different than what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. For when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Now, that's not saying that God puts temptation on us. He's saying he's not going to allow you to be overwhelmed. So what this means to me is that no matter what you face in life, no matter what hard time, no matter what temptation comes in your life, you can handle it. You can handle it because God's not going to allow it to overwhelm you. The only time it overwhelms you is when you allow it to. When you give in, when you give up, when you quit fighting. That's when you become overwhelmed by the troubles in life, the temptations in life, because because God's not going to allow it to overwhelm you. But he's not going to fight for you either. See, he needs us to learn to stand on God's word. He needs us to learn to pray in the name of Jesus. He needs us to learn to fight. The Bible talks about the good fight of faith. The Bible talks about spiritual warfare. That's some real stuff. For the weapons we fight are not carnal or fleshly, but they're spiritual, they're powerful. See, we're fighting an enemy that we can't see. See, spiritual warfare is real. We are in the fight. But so many of us don't know how to fight it. We think people are attacking us. We think our boss is against us. We think that person talking bad about us at work, we think it's them. It's not them. There's an enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life. See, when we begin to look at people as a problem, then we're not fighting the right fight. See, we got to realize that anything that comes into our life that steals, kills, and destroys our life is coming from the devil. And we've got to learn to fight that. See, he gets us so busy getting mad at each other, gossiping, doing all this stuff, that we're not fighting him. We're fighting each other. And he's winning. We got to know what we're fighting. We got to know that the tests are coming. We got to know where they're coming from. Sometimes it's the devil bringing temptation in our life. Sometimes we got to see these things in our life, these temptations and these trials and tough times in our life. We got to say, okay, did I do something to cause this? Is there something I'm doing in my life that's opening the door for this to happen? Because we always want to point the finger at someone else. Oh, the devil's doing it. Oh, God's doing it. Oh, this person is attacking me. Oh, and they never want to look at, we never want to look at ourselves and see what we need to clean up in our own life. But I know for me personally, most of the stuff that happens to me that's bad in my life is my own doing. It's because I'm not getting into God's word. It's because I decide to think about this, which I know is wrong, instead of this, which is right. I decide to do that stupid thing, even though I know that it's not right. And I open the door for something bad to happen to me. Most of the fights that I fight is because of my own stupid decisions. And until I'm willing to look at myself and clean those things up, I'm always going to fight those things. I'm always going to be in that war. I'm always going to be frustrated, and I'm not going to grow because I'm not willing to judge myself. That wasn't even in my notes today. All right, so we know that temptations are simply a test. We know they come from the enemy. We know that they come from our own decisions, our own desires, our own selfishness. So how do we handle this? How do we fight this? What can we do to win the battle? See, we got to realize one thing, that we'll always have tests in our life. We'll always have temptations. We're always going to have tough times in our life. We got to know that. We're never going to come to a point where all that ends. The only time that ends is when we're in heaven. Until then, we're in a fight. And so we know it's coming. So we need to prepare, right? We need to be ready. How crazy would it be if you're in the army and you know the enemy's coming and you got your rifle over here, you were cleaning it yesterday and hadn't got it put back together yet. You know, you're just laying in bed all day. That's the way most Christians live. They're just not ready. They're not prepared. And then the enemy comes in and attacks and they wonder why they get defeated. See, we've got to prepare. We've got to be ready for when the trial comes, when the test comes. But one thing that I've realized is I've been studying it and looking into things in life, that there's a certain, I don't want to really call it doctrine, but there's a certain doctrine that really permeates everything in life. And we talk about it some around here. We don't talk about it a whole lot, but it's the idea of us being a spirit, soul, and body. And we find this in 1 Thessalonians. I'll read it to you real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus has come again." And there's something, there's a lot more to that than what we really realize. Because I think lots of times we just look at life as being this one thing. But really, you know, we are three parts in one. You know, we're a spirit. Our spirit is the part that connects with God. It's the part that came alive when we were born again. That's the part that actually came alive and now we can connect with God. We have free access to the Father through our spirit. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, this is the inside of us. This is our personality. This is our thought processes. This is our decision making. It's all of those things. That's our soul. And then we have our body, which is our flesh. And the Bible talks about us being spirit, soul, and body. And I believe that temptation comes in all three of those areas. And so today I kind of want to break it down into spiritual temptations, our soulish temptations, and our bodily or physical temptations that we have in life. Because we're going to fight each one a little bit differently. We're going to come against each one just a little bit differently because we got to realize that each one is addressing a different area of our life. And so we got to realize that when temptation comes, we got to know where it's coming from and what part is it attacking in our lives. So the first one, let's just talk about spiritual temptations. What are spiritual temptations in our life? A lot of these kind of come in questions. Well, if God is real, then why this? Or it might be, did God really say this? We see that in the Bible. Or how about this one? It says God would do that for everybody else, but he won't do it for you. Has anybody ever heard that lie? God doesn't love you. Anything that comes against the character of God or tries to fight against the existence of God, anything that tries to make you question God in some way is a spiritual temptation or spiritual test in your life. And I believe that we all face these. I think at some point in everybody's life that those questions have come up in our mind. Maybe it was, you know, a tragedy that happened in your life. If God is real, then why did this happen? God, how could you allow that to happen? God, and we begin to question God, who he is, his character, or even if he exists. How do we handle spiritual temptations? How do we fight these? We got to run to God. Now that sounds really weird considering if you're unsure of the existence of God, if that's a temptation in your life that you run to God, does that really make sense? But see, we need to run to God without an agenda. So many times in life when we go to God in prayer or we're approaching God for any reason, we usually have an agenda behind it. God, I need this from you. God, I don't understand this, so teach me this in your word. Or God, this is happening in my life, God, and so I need you to intervene in my life. And it seems like lots of times when we go to God, we always have an agenda of something that we need from him. But see, when we're fighting spiritual temptations in our life, we need to run to God without an agenda. There's times that we need to go to God. We need to read God's word without trying to figure something out. Just let God talk to you. There's times that we need to go to God in prayer when we spend our time with God and not have our list of things we're asking for, our wish list. Say, God, I just want to spend time with you today. God, I just want you to love me today. God, I just want to know you're real today. When we worship him, When we go into the presence of God, we don't need to have an agenda. Just go and enjoy the presence of God. I'm guilty of this so bad that when I sit down to pray, I got my list. Okay, God, this is what I need today. This. And God's like, hey, I want to do something in your life. But I think so many times we're focused on our agenda that we don't allow God to do what he wants to do. And we're just asking him to do what we want him to do. And so I believe those times when we're questioning God, those times when something happens and we're mad at God, is it okay to be mad at God sometimes? I think it is. I think that's a natural emotional response. That sometimes something happens and we're just mad. But we don't need to stay mad at God. I believe we need to allow God to work that in our life and do something in our life through that. But there's those times that we're questioning God, we're questioning the character of God, or something like that. I believe we just need to run to God and just be. Just let him love on us. Just let him know. Let him allow us to know that he's real. And just enjoy his presence. Let me tell you something. In the times when I get stressed out, the times that I'm worried or times that I'm just like frustrated, the best thing I can do is to get alone, put on some worship music, forget about it all and just worship him. Just focus on him. No agenda, no timeline, just love him. And as I begin to focus on God and just realize how huge he is, how powerful, how awesome God is. And then I come back down and look at my situation. I'm thinking, that's nothing. God's got this. It's called casting our cares upon him because he cares for us. We need to approach God without an agenda and just allow him to work in our lives. Allow him to prove himself to us. So that's spiritual temptations. What about those soulish temptations? I think these are the ones that we fight the most. I think these are the ones that hit us the most because it's our mind, it's our thoughts, it's our will. This is what I want to do. You know, it's our emotions, and I believe a lot of our temptations come in this. Let me name just a few temptations that come: pride, greed, lust, stubbornness, rebellion, anger, rage, envy, jealousy, gossip, drama. These are the soulish temptations that we have in life. These are the ones that I think that we fight the most because it's the natural person in us trying to come out. You know, our spirit has been reborn, but you know, God's still working on the rest of us. He's still working on our minds. He's still working on our will and our emotions and our thoughts. And God's still working those things in our life. And I believe this is where we get tempted the most, that, you know, someone says something, you're just like, come on, man, let's go. It's on, let's do this thing, you know, and you're just ready to fight, you know. And these temptations hit us hard a lot of times. How do we fight these temptations? Luke chapter 4, Jesus, he came back with scripture, scripture, scripture. Let me tell you something. You can never overvalue the scripture in your life. The scripture is so vital to our existence and our walk with God that if you're not in God's word, if you're not consistently reading and studying and meditating on God's word, then you're missing out on so much. You're missing out on so much. Because in our soulish temptations, first thing we got to do is we've got to know ourselves. See, we all know where we're weak. We all know where those temptations come from. It seems like to me that most people have just a handful of temptations that Satan always comes at you with. Those are your weak areas. Those are the places that he know he can hit you quick and make you fall. We all have them. There's no shame in that. We just know we got to have them. But see, we got to know what our weaknesses are. And just like any battle strategy you have, you got to know your weaknesses and you got to know how to protect those weaknesses. See, I know where I'm weak. I know the struggles that I have in life. And what I have done is I have developed a strategy on when these temptations come, how I'm going to fight. I have scripture for each temptation that I have. That as soon as that temptation comes, I can quote a scripture. I don't have to go find my Bible. I don't have to go call pastor. I know it because I've studied it. I've learned it. I've meditated on it. I've memorized it. When certain thoughts come in my mind, I say, whatever's pure, whatever's true, that's what I'm going to think about. Whatever's of a good report, that's what I'm going to think about. No weapon formed against me will prosper. There's scripture that I've memorized that I have ready to go when those temptations come. When those weak areas are hit. I have a thought process that I go through for each of my temptations. You know, if this temptation hits, let's say a temptation hits me to cheat on my wife. I have a thought process that immediately goes into effect. Okay, if I cheat on my wife, what's going to happen? Number one, I'm going to break her heart. That's the last thing I want to do is break my wife's heart. I love her. I wouldn't do anything purposely to hurt her. That would tear her world up. I'd lose my kids. I love my kids dearly. I couldn't imagine seeing them every other weekend. I love coming home and them just running, Daddy, and just give you a big hug. I'd lose my job. Everything that I've worked for the past 12 years would be gone in a moment. I love what I do. I believe that I'm where God has called me to be. And if I was to do that, then it would mess up God's calling in my life. And I'd have to start all over. It would ruin my life for a moment of pleasure. It's not worth it. And even just talking through that, I mean, my emotions, they start rising up on the inside of me. And it's just like, this is how we fight temptation. We've got to have a strategy. We've got to have a plan on how we're going to fight. Temptation comes scripture. Okay, let's start the thought process. What's going to happen if I do this? And we can go through the cycle. And by the time you're at the end of it, by the time I go through that thought process, my heart's almost broken because I've even thought about doing anything crazy like that. I'm thinking, there's no way I can do that now. Because I had a strategy how to fight it, that temptation was nothing. That test of my faith, that test of my commitment, that test of my obedience to Christ was this small. Because I knew how to fight. And that's what we've got to learn to do. Is we got to learn to see the temptations in life as simply a test. It's a proving ground in our life. So we need to memorize scripture. We need to study. We got to practice. We got to be prepared for those. Okay, lastly, physical temptations. What are physical temptations? It could be drugs, alcohol, smokes. It could be sex, pornography. For some people, it could be food. It could be anything that your body craves in those times of stress, those times of tiredness. And this is one thing I didn't mention earlier when we were looking at the temptation of Jesus. He said that he was in the wilderness for 40 days and the devil was tempting him and he didn't eat anything. It's usually during those times when the temptation comes. When we're tired, when we're stressed out, when we're hungry, when someone's got on our nerves all day, that's usually when the temptation comes. It's never when you just read your Bible and you've been worshiping God for 3 hours and you're ready to go. Temptation doesn't come then. It's when we're tired and we're weak. That's usually when the test comes in our life. So how do we handle the physical temptations in your life? Of course, number one, scripture. That's always the first thing that we need is scripture in our life. The second thing we got to do is just run. Get out of there. Scram. Make like a tree and leave. Whatever you have to do to get out of the situation. Some of y'all didn't get that. Just like Joseph. You know, Joseph faced a lot of stuff in life, a lot of temptation in life, a lot of tests and trials in life. And he was in that moment to where he's working for Potiphar. His good-looking wife is hitting on him, saying, hey, come sleep with me. And Joseph's like, no, I don't think so. And one day she grabs him, and he just takes off running, leaves his shirt. I mean, he was just out of there. I mean, that's how we got to fight temptation sometime. There's some friends in your life that you need to run away from. There's some places in your life that you never need to go again. There's situations that you just need to run. Get out of there. Sometimes the physical location needs to be changed in order to avoid temptation. And you know what your temptations are. You know those places that you go that make you weak. You know those friends that you hang out with that make you weak. Run. Run from those people. Get out of there. So just kind of wrap it all up today. Next week we're going to get into a little bit more in depth about some heavier issues. But today I just wanted to kind of give a basic overview of temptation and how to deal with temptation. Temptation is a test. It's a test of your faith. It's a test of your commitment. It's a test of your obedience to Christ. We got to know where temptation comes from. It comes from the enemy. It comes from our own selfish desires. How do we handle it? We handle it with Scripture. We got to have a game plan. We got to have a battle plan. We got to study. We got to be ready. We got to be prepared when it comes. I love the scripture. It says, when troubles come in life. I can't remember it right now. Don't you hate it when that happens? So when trouble comes, now it's really got me off. Jesus said, I have already overcome the world. What he did on the cross defeated everything negative in our life. Defeated sin, defeated death. And every temptation and trial that comes at us, we have already overcome through Christ. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. See, we need to be operating out of the area of victory, out of overcomers. So when the temptation comes, it's not the big boulder about to smash us, but it's just this little test that's come along. I can handle it. I'm prepared. It's okay. I got this. See, we need to change our viewpoint on what's going on in life. See, if we see ourselves as victorious, if we see ourselves as overcomers through Christ, more than conquerors, then when the trial comes, we'll be ready. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, that for what you've done on the cross for us. Thank you for the victory that you've given us. Lord, and we know that through every temptation, every trial, every test in life, God, we know it's not going to overwhelm us. You're not going to allow that. God, but you've provided the way out. God, you've provided the trap door. God, you've provided the exit strategy for us. God, help us to see that in life. God, I pray that you just help us to prepare ourselves in life for the temptations, for our weaknesses. God, so with that, when they come, when the test comes, we'll be studied, we'll be ready, we'll be prepared. God, thank you that you're strengthening your people today. God, thank you that they can see themselves as conquerors and victorious in life. God, and that we can go out of here and be victorious in this world. God, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. You're dismissed.